The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Recently, there's been a lot of interest in the meaning of the phrase, in the faith. Sometimes, just reading this in Scripture seems like a nebulous concept. I mean, after all, when you really stop and think about it, it is vague in meaning to many people who regularly study God's Word. This phrase, in the faith, obviously requires some explanation. So, in this message today, we are going to emphasize some of what I'm considering to be important issues related to being in the faith. And I have entitled this message, In the Faith. We know that the phrase comes from the book of Corinthians. Paul wrote to the Corinthians and exhorted them to examine themselves whether or not they were in the faith. And if you really step and think about it, I recently gave a sermon on the Corinthian church, and so from that we certainly understand that Paul had good reason to tell the Corinthians to do that. Because, I mean, after all, the church was full of turmoil, ungodly comparisons and behaviors. The population was very diverse in background and opinions and levels of education and wealth and on and on. Yet, all of the called out ones were to have the capacity to be one of the members of the church, the body of Jesus Christ. And so, as a result of that, Paul warned the people of Corinth to avoid bringing some judgment down upon themselves from their careless approach to the Passover symbols and to the real body of Jesus Christ. So let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 28. 1 Corinthians 11, 28. But let a man examine himself, and let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And then in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Now, I want us to understand the issue here, the context of this, is that some of the members of the church in Corinth were questioning or challenging the point that Paul was actually an apostle. Now, that's the context. So let's go here in 2 Corinthians in verse 13 and begin in verse 1. This is the third time that I am coming to you. I got to make a correction here. That I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretold you and foretell you as if I were present the second time, and being absent, now I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all others, that if I come again, I will not spare. Verse 3. Since you seek to prove of Christ speaking in me, that's the point that he is actually addressing in this. So we keep going. Which to you is not weak, but is mighty in you, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he lived by the power of God. And of course, the he there is referring to Jesus. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves, knowing you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Now, he's not saying they're reprobates. He's saying it's a question that he's asking them. But I trust that you shall know that we are not reprobates. Having stated that this is the real issue here, this is not the focus of this message. Now, having stated that, what I do want us to understand, it is still a good thing for us to address, to focus on the phrase, what does it mean to be in the faith? Hence the title, In the Faith. So, let's look at this phrase, in the faith, looking at different biblical principles, looking at three, what I will consider to be three major points. Number one, clearly, being in the faith requires a set of beliefs, doctrines. Yet, we need to understand being in the faith entails much more than just believing or advocating a set of beliefs or doctrines. So major point number two, being in the faith requires that we walk, or really that we continue to walk with God in faith. Remember, Paul is addressing members. With weaknesses, yes, but addressing believers. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. And the Bible also shows us that we must be in agreement in order for us to walk together. Amos 3 verse 3 tells us, can two walk together except or unless they be agreed? And so we ask, do we, as we are examining ourselves to see are we in the faith, we ask, do we understand what walking with God in faith looks like? I mean, what does it mean to walk with God in faith rather than by sight? Well, for one thing, we must believe that God has made promises to us, and we must believe that He cannot lie. Titus 1 in verse 2. Titus 1 in verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Now, do we believe that? That's a matter of faith. Do we believe and do we know that He cannot lie? So He has made these promises and He cannot lie. So we know they're going to happen. We know they're going to happen. And believing that God will keep His promises requires a certain level of knowing. Faith involves knowing without any benefit or physical proof. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It requires believing just because God said so. We can refer to that as faith. And walking with God by faith requires a level that we can call saving faith. And that saving faith required for salvation is a gift of God. Ephesians 2 verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. As a word of caution, it is important for us to know that believing God's promises is by themselves simply is not enough. What I mean by that is considered as a proof of that statement that the devil knows. In fact, he absolutely knows that God keeps his word, and yet the devil does not properly respond to that truth. James 2, verse 19. James 2, verse 19. You believe that there is one God, and you do well. The devils or the demons also believe and tremble. Knowing the promises and believing the promises must also be locked to a proper response to that knowledge. In other words, what I'm saying is we must be living it as a way of life. Brethren, the point here is we can easily make the acceptance of believing faith as a substitute for living it. Notice what Jesus stated back in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Luke 6 verse 46. For why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever comes to me and hears my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which builds a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But if he hears and doeth not, see, it's not just believing, it's not just knowing it, it's acting on it. This is the point that he's saying. It's like a man that is without a foundation, builds his house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Another required level of faith is our knowing that God's will is best. It requires a trust that he always knows best, and it is a requirement that he only wants his best for us. Go with me to Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. I know many of you have this committed to memory. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. He promises to do us good and not evil. And brethren, we cannot be leaning on our own understanding, because if you really stop and think about it, this is the way to be fooled. Proverbs 3 and verse 5 through 7. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Being in the faith means that these promises made by Almighty God, our loving Father, are a reality in my life and a reality in your life. And being in the faith means that trusting God's will is paramount. And yet, at the same time, we also understand there may be times when we might stumble. And yet, if we are living in the faith, there is no need for us to fear or stumble. Let me show you a few verses along this line just to have it in your thinking to go along with this particular topic in the faith. To start off, go with me to Joshua. Go with me to Joshua 1 and verse 9. Joshua 1 and verse 9. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be you dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you whithersoever you go. And the thing is, brethren, all of these verses are going to say things similar to this, and they're not just talking to the person or to the people to whom they are addressed. They're also addressed and talking to us as believers today. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6. Deuteronomy 31 verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, He it is that does go with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Fear you not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yea, I will help you. Yea, I will, listen to this, uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. These are things that we need to know, that we know that we know, that we trust them then, we believe them, we put them into effect in our lives, we lean upon that, not upon our own understanding. Let's continue here in Isaiah 41 and verse 13. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying unto you, fear not, I will help you. I'm not done. I want to show you two others in the same context, the same kind of feeling, the same kind of mindset. Isaiah 43 and verse 1. 43 verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created you, O Jacob, and he that formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. Bring that forward to the Church of God today. We could each one of us put our names there. He knows our name. He has called us by our name to be His son, to be His daughter. And in this context, I want to show you one more. All of these are verses that you know, but I want to show you one more place. Psalm 23 and verse 4. This is the place where it starts. Though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because you are with me. Verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Fear has to go, and fear has to be replaced by faith. God expects this of those that He calls. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. So as we look at proving we are in the faith, because really, that's what we're doing. We're examining ourselves in the context of this phrase that has been some questions. What does it mean? So that's why we're taking a look at it. There's some questions that I think that we need to be asking and considering ourselves. The first question is, what walk of life do we currently have? Do we walk in faith or do we walk in fear? Do we walk after the world, or do we walk after the teachings of Jesus Christ? Do we seek to please God in every step we take? Do we walk in the ways of the world, or do we do all that we can do to the glory of God? 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31. 1 Corinthians 10, 31. What therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Do we do this? Walking by faith means we have to be attuned to God's direction through His Holy Spirit and then to respond to the leading, to the prompting by the Holy Spirit of God. Being in faith involves a person who is claiming to be a true believer and then demonstrating faith and belief in living and in imitating the way of life that Jesus walked. That kind of person will be seeking and doing what Jesus did, and that type of person will be pushing away, will shunning what Jesus avoided. By imitating God in faith, the true believer will become more and more like the perfect example. So, brethren, living God's way is truly a way of life. That is, we have to learn about Jesus Christ, and then we need to be imitating Jesus Christ. As we start to learn Jesus' ways and to imitate Jesus' ways in our life, we are beginning the process of walking by faith. Now, however long back we started that, are we still walking in that same direction? See, that's the question. That's what we're asking. That's what we're examining ourselves. So, if we are wanting what God offers to us now, and if we're wanting what God offers to us in the everlasting future, then we must go through His process. We must be doing it His way, not our way. We will then be working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians 2 and verse 12. Philippians 2 verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And so the point is, the true believer, the true disciples of Jesus Christ, will want to follow Him. They will put a positive purpose into the process, and they will work at attaining their lives to be the same as what Jesus would do in a response to life and daily experiences today. In other words, what would Jesus do? Is that a question that we ask as we examine ourselves? Am I in the faith? Now, going on in the book of Acts, we see the early disciples understood that people had to be instructed in the way of the Lord. Acts chapter 18 and verse 25. Acts 18, 25. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spoke and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Now, in the context, this is referring to Apollos, who was a disciple of John the Baptist. And this is years later, after the death of John the Baptist. And so here's Apollos, and others are walking around, and they're teaching only what they understood from, but when he was told all of this, he, to put it in a phrase, he caught on fire to the truth and to the knowledge of this very precious holy way of life. So now I have a couple of questions for us to consider. What was the character, and by character I'm meaning what was the disposition, the thoughts, the intentions, the desires, and the actions of Jesus as he walked the earth? And a second question is, how much do we know about the choices he made as a human being? He clearly told his disciples to come to him and learn of him. It's in Matthew 11 and verse 29. Matthew 11, 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. So, to this point in this message, we have seen points 1 and 2. Number 1 was showing us being in the faith requires a set of beliefs and doctrines. And number 2 shows us that being in the faith requires that we walk or that we continue to walk with God in faith. Now, let's move to point number 3. I told you it's 3 major points, and so this is number 3. Number 3, in order to walk with God, we have to be on the road, on the path, on the way that he is on. And we have to be on that same road, that same path, that way that he is on, with the same everlasting goal in mind that he has. Remember, Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? So, brethren, in this 21st century culture, it is a common thing for people to talk about people's different ways of doing things. Well, we just do it differently than you do. We do it this way because, and whatever the because is to me, it's immaterial. They do things different. That's the point. In fact, we find that there is actually a growing independence in our culture that encourages individuality to the extreme. In fact, people are prioritizing self-expression. I can demonstrate this. This is in our culture. Have you seen this in our culture? I am. And I'm reading about it in the Bible because it's here. It's in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. We're going to read 1 through 9. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. Know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power of thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Sound like our culture? It does to me. Now, as Janus and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Huh. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made known, manifest unto all men, as theirs also was, as Janus and Jambres was also. That's the point. They go their own way, obviously not on God's road or path or way. It also reminds me of what we read in the last verse in the book of Judges. Judges 21, verse 25. Judges 21, 25. In those last In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. They are growing in fear of being made to conform. Often, there is extreme reaction when individualism looks even slightly threatened. I'm describing our culture. The Bible is describing what is going on in our day and time. Notice also with me what we read in Psalm 139 in verse 20. 139 in verse 20. For they speak against you, the you is God, wickedly, and your enemies take your name in vain. So we ask, does this remind any of you of our society and our world we live in today? I have another question along this line. I mean, have you watched any movies or TV recently? You see this. It is prominent in it. It is prominent to take God's name in vain. And individualism and all of this and their ways are not on the path of God. Please understand, brethren, this worldly approach is a far different approach than we have as believers in our conforming to the image of Jesus Christ. Go back to 2 Timothy 3 and verse 10. We read 1 through 9. Now let's read verse 10. For you have fully known my doctrine, my teaching, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. When we are truly in the faith, we are actively conforming to the image of Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is saying here. This is the way the world is, and you know me, and this is the way that I am. This is what he's saying. Well, this is the way we are to be. We are to be conforming, actively conforming to the image of Jesus Christ. Go with me to Romans 29. Romans 29, the A part of the verse. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. That's what we were called to be. Because you see, brethren, as we conform to that image, we are being transformed. In other words, our minds are renewed and we experience thinking in a new way. Because the way that was described in 2 Timothy 3, the first 9 verses, the way the world is. That's the way we thought until we were brought into the body and until we became part of the body of Jesus Christ. We realize that we are different than we used to be. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. And be not conformed to this world. But be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and that acceptable and perfect will of God. Being in the faith places emphasis on God's way and not on the ways of the world. It's walking on His path. It's not walking in the path of the world. It means we flee from evil. It means that we live an undefiled way of life as we walk in God's way. Walking in His law, which is where it is explained what His way is. Jude verse 11 is only one chapter, Jude 1, verse 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Psalm 119 in verse 1. 119 in verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. There's a contrast. This is the way the world is going. This is the way a believer is going. This is all that it is showing. Being in the faith means we will diverse ourselves of everything that is wicked, and we will be replacing it with God's way of doing and thinking and feeling and being. And we understand that we do this because that is the only way to everlasting life. It's the only way. It's not a way. It's the only way to being in the kingdom, in the family of God, to be hopefully part of the bride of Jesus Christ. Go with me to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Verse 17. How precious also are your thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more than number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. In other words, I'm still thinking on you. I'm still meditating on who and what you are. I'm still thinking on and meditating on your holy way of life. Verse 24. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's the way, Father. That's the way I want to go. It's the only way. It's His way. It's His path, His way, His road. It's the only way. So, brethren, as we stated in the beginning of this message, recently there has been a lot of interest in the meaning of the phrase in the faith. And we stated that we'd be emphasizing some of the more important issues related to being in the faith. Have we covered all of that? Of course not. It was never the intent. We were going to look at some of it. So therefore, brethren, as we continue our self-examination prior to the Passover and the days of unleavened bread, hopefully this information on being in the faith will be helpful to us all as we look at ourselves, asking ourselves, am I truly living in the faith? The Aaronic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God's name is upon each one of us as his children. Happy Sabbath. God bless you. And we love you all very, very much.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111, That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.